is paid for Ministries partners and viewers.
Most Americans believe that God created the heavens and the earth. But all of our public institutions, schools, universities, museums, science foundation, maintain a strict allegiance to Darwinism. That we came from a monkey, that we came from a big bang, and they deny the role of a creator. Elites have set the cultural agenda, influencing the beliefs of people to the point that they have controlled society and the culture. God is going to take the wealth of the wicked and he's going to transfer it over into the hands of his people, because without the wealth, you've got no influence. And you say, well, why is God going to do that? Show people who he is. He's gonna show the full manifestation of his glory. God's gonna have miracles so great until people gonna find it hard to believe, even in the church.
I think we're about to see the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever been demonstrated on the face of this earth. And so we want to make sure that we're prepared for it. And we're just not going to run out and buy 15 Cadillacs with it. But we're going to do the right thing with the wealth when it comes. Say amen to that. All right, right now, what we've seen is that in the Old Testament, there seems to be a consistency of wealth being transferred. And as it was being transferred in the Old Testament, it's almost like a pattern that we've seen. And when you talk about patterns and things like that with God, it's God really demonstrating his mind and his thoughts through the scriptures, through the word of God. And it shows the mind and the flow of God. In other words, what's true at one place is also true at another place. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. So God is demonstrating something here in the Old Testament. As we go back there, we're using that as a New Testament model, if you will, for this idea about wealth and the wealth being transferred. Now, one of the things that we have gone to is this particular scripture, because we're saying that this would be the foundation text that we'd be using for this teaching. Now, I said also that a lot of this has not been taught, and it's not been taught because, a lot of times people didn't want to be accused of being a prosperity preacher. But I saw two big prosperity preachers back over in Numbers chapter 13, and I saw some people who refused to preach it. Now, this is Numbers chapter 13. This is when Caleb and Joshua came back from spying out the land of Canaan in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13. And they said something like this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. And he said, but the men that went up with him said, we've been not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And he said, and they brought up an evil report. And let's go to the next verse. And he said that we also saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were on all sides as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. So chapter 14 in verse 1 kind of gets really into the meat of this thing. He says this, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, why did they weep? They wept because of what they heard. What did they hear? They heard something that the leadership had spoken, had said. They didn't see giants. They didn't see the walls. They didn't see anything except they heard what they heard. Now, what they heard affected what they thought. And a lot of times what people are doing who have a certain thing manifesting in their life, they go after the manifestation. In other words, they thoughts lead to beliefs, and beliefs lead to manifestation or actions. And so what you have to do sometimes, you got to come back to your thoughts. Come on now. I'm going to lose weight. I need to come back to some of these thoughts, because these thoughts come up at 11 o'clock at night about go in the refrigerator and get yourself some chicken and some potato salad and some coconut cake. That is an evil thought. So you thoughts turn into things. You can't let yourself think that. The Bible says over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, think on these things. Think on these things. So it tells you to manage your mind. You just can't let those thoughts come in. Why? Because they'll affect you. They'll actually come in, and if you hear them over and over again repetitiously, then it's amazing. You hear negative news over and over again. They did a test. I didn't bring the results here, but they did a test on some people. They let them hear negative news 5 minutes a day, and I think it was for a month or something like that. After that, they were having total negative thoughts. Everything they thought about, they thought in a negative way, so forth and so on. So you can imagine what some of the television over and over again, 7 and 8 hours a day, is doing to some people. No wonder they can't get out of the situations that they're in. So I'm just saying that these thoughts have a lot to do with this. So when they came back, they should have preached what God said in His Word. And what we showed you last time was Hebrews chapter 4. Put it up, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. And as we showed you that, we showed you, let us therefore fear. Fear means you can substitute the word believe. Lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. Unto us was the gospel preached. Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith with them that heard it. So you got to mix the word with faith. You can read it one time and you'll get information. But if you keep reading it and meditating on it, you'll soon get revelation. And revelation is something that is a whole lot more powerful. It's something that God moves through and so forth. Remember what He told Abraham, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you. And so the idea about it is you've got to see something in and through the Word. Now, when you're looking at this, what I did is I kind of looked at Word of God and believing the Word of God. And I used an example of a person who had gone over in Africa. This person was in the ministry, and they went over to Africa, and Africa was at that time broke out with a bubonic plague. And in that bubonic plague, of course, it's very deadly. And so the doctor said, let me give you a shot. And he said, I don't need a shot. He said, why? He said, because I take Psalm 91. And the doctor was trying to figure out, what is he talking about? He takes Psalm 91. Well, what he is saying is that he has taken Psalm 91 and taken that and put it in his heart. And Psalm 91 is now manifesting itself in resistance and having anything that might come on him to be resisted and him not be affected by it. Now let's just look at Psalm 91. Let's start at verse 5. In Psalm 91, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to fortify you against fear. Nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. So I don't care what's flying around airborne. It doesn't make any difference. It won't be able to grab hold to me. Are you with me? And the next verse, 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, keep going, but it shall not come nigh thee. Keep going. only with my eyes shall I behold to see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, come on, my habitation. So I've got something that's protecting me. Now, I want to say this because you and I read this word all the time. And as we read it, what do we get out of it? Is this just a good reading for us? No. This, whatever is promised, you are supposed to walk in. And that God has made it so that he'll give you something above information. It's called revelation. And revelation is a conduit for God's power to move through so that you will have dominion over this earth and its circumstances. Oh, your Lord have mercy. All right, let's look at another one. Look at Psalm chapter 107, please. Over in Psalm chapter 107, he says this in verse 20. He sent his word and what? Healed them and what else? And delivered them from their destructions. Now, what healed them? The word healed them. The word healed them. The word healed them. All right, now let's back that up, because when I start revelating this, when I start meditating this, because I'm going towards revelation, because revelation, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. If I got revelation now, and so I start meditating this. So now I go over, because he sent his word and healed them. So I'm looking at the word. So in the beginning, John chapter 1 and verse 1, was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Watch this. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So he made everything. He made everything. The word is God. So if I got the word, I've got who? God. And if I got the God, I've got what? The word. So the word and God are one. Not only that, if I look at Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 13, pardon me. He said, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called what? The Word of God. Now, who are they talking about there? Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. So whatever Jesus could do, the Word can do. All right, let's look at another place. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding precious promise, great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature, having what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world, come on, through lust. Now we just read in Hebrews that the word or the gospel didn't profit them because it was what? It was not mixed, come on, with faith. So I can't just take the word and read it. I got to mix it. In this word is the nature of God. And the nature of God is powerful enough, according to that scripture, to eat up any corruption that's in your life. You'll wonder where the yellow went. You just take the word and you begin to take that word and begin to confess that word, begin to meditate that word, and the word will do the work. It knows how to search and destroy. The word will do the work. I'm talking, now wait a minute. None of this will work if you don't believe it. Are you with me? All right, let's just go further with that same example. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and look at verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What do I mean health, somebody? Medicine, okay. One of the translations says medicine. So you can put it in your Bible. The Word of God is medicine. All right. Now, how were we trained in Egypt? We were trained that medicine comes in a jar. Medicine is either liquid you take. Medicine is either pill you take, a shot you get, or something. That's medicine. Yes. But that's not the original medicine. Yes. The original medicine is the Word. Yes. Now, that's the truth.
Yes.
Now, what the enemy did with Egypt is programmed us so that we were protected from the truth. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what I mean. When you take a shot of something, a flu shot, what do they give you in that serum that they give you? They give you a little bit of the flu. That's why some people have a reaction to it. Because it is supposed to stir up your antibodies in your body and build up an immune system against the flu when it comes. So religion is the same way. It injects you with a little truth. You see what I'm saying? Just a little truth. So when the real thing comes, you are protected. See? And I've had people, when I start preaching on prosperity or wealth or something, oh Lord, that's one of them prosperity preachers. See, religion told them that. See, and religion is dangerous. It kills folk. It does. The KKK was religious. That's why they put a cross up in your yard. Now, my point to you is, it's dangerous. Religion killed Jesus, hung him up there. Now, I'm about to tell you what the Bible says. Now, when I tell you this, don't fight me. You gotta mix it with faith. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 15, please. All right, look at verse 12. And then James' disciples had said to him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" They were offended now. Now notice some people get offended. When I teach on prosperity, they get offended. Let me ask you something. If you're sick, don't you need to hear something on healing? Come on. If your marriage is in trouble, don't you need to be at a marriage seminar? All right. Look at the next verse, verse 13. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, come on, shall be rooted up." Now understand, the inside of us dictates the outside of us. What's inside of you creates the world you live in. Got it? So if you're looking at the world and you're looking at it and you don't like it, then you need to start working on the inside. And it starts with your thinking. Everything starts with a thought. Okay? You've been getting your thoughts from the wrong source. So you got to change sources of thought. You got to come in here. God's word is his thinking. Okay, he said, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, so therefore your ways are not my ways." So that's what we're doing with this session now. We're going to root this up. Because when it came time for them going into Canaan, there was a fence. And the fence was not outside. The fence was inside. Are y'all following what I'm saying? And it's interesting how people are fighting to stay behind the fence. Now you're trying to get them to kick the fence down because with God, all things are possible. So they have no limitations now. So you're gonna have to get them to get this fence down. And so what happens is you gotta use wisdom. You gotta teach the word of God. When there was unbelief, Jesus went about teaching. So that's what I'm doing now. The next verse says this in verse 14. He said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind,
both of them will fall to the ditch. Well, over in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan blinds the mind. You don't see with your eyes, you see through them. So it's a mind that gets blinded. So they were blinded, and now they talk to the people and told the people they can't take it, they're grasshoppers and so forth, and everybody believed it. And they wept all that night. Now, why did they weep that night? Because they meditated, Lord have mercy, what was told them. Now, what I mean by meditate? In this case, worry. Worry is negative meditation.
That's right.
Somebody says, I don't know how to meditate. Do you know how to worry? Yeah. Well, just worry on the other side. No. All right. Now, so if we look at scriptures like 1 Corinthians, put it up there, please. Chapter 3, verse 21. Another scripture, verse 3:21. He says this, and therefore let no man glory in men, for all things, what, are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Now, these are ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are yours. I'm yours.
Amen.
The world, the life, the death, the things present, the things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ and Christ is God's. Okay? So everything's yours.
Amen.
Now, let's go further. Psalms chapter 115, verse 16. Heaven, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Children of men is you. It's not wicked folks.
Right.
Now, I'm just saying, people read this Bible and for some reason, offer some theological reason why it's not saying what it says. He said, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Say amen to that. There are vast wealth, there is vast wealth that is being held by wicked people that is supposed to come to the church.
Amen.
And the reason why it's coming to the church is because we've got a bigger job to do than anybody else.
Amen.
Are you with me there?
Amen.
Now, we're not mad at anybody.
Amen.
We're just following scripture.
That's right. That's right.
If God didn't want us to have it, don't put it in here. Listen. When he said, by his stripes you're healed, I'm not going to question that. Well, Lord, why do you want me healed? That'll be dumb. He's got a reason why he wants you healed. One of the biggest reasons why he wants you healed, I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest reasons why he wants you wealthy is because he wants to expose to the world who he is and what his nature is. To expose to everybody who's looking at you what he is really like, because he has been counterfeited, he has been poorly represented, but he is going to show the world who he really is. Folks, it's talking about the glory of the latter house. Now, I trust that you were blessed by this exciting teaching. It's the wealth transfer. Now, today's teaching is part of a powerful four-disc series, and here's a very important point you'd like to remember. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we've got God, we've got the Word. We've got Word, we've got God. But the power doesn't flow unless we get the revelation and believe what we read. In other words, when God says something, we've got to believe that for the power to flow through us so that we can receive our inheritance. And the Bible says this earth, it's part of our inheritance. He said we're joint heirs with Christ. I mean, whatever he gets, we get. Praise the Lord. So he got wisdom, we got wisdom. Glory to God. He got righteousness, we got righteousness. He inherited the kingdom. He inherited this earth. And you and I to take it back as well. Now, the group that was in the wilderness with Moses, remember, they refused to believe. The word didn't profit them because they refused to mix it with faith. Now, what am I saying there? The tongue is the mixer. In other words, you've got to say what God says. As you do, then revelation comes. Faith comes. Why? Because the power of God must flow through that to be able for you to receive what's already yours.
They never believed it. And that's why it's so important as we give you these teachings, some of these things we're repeating over again. Why? Because faith is coming. Now, faith is coming so it can take back the inheritance that already belongs to you. It's a powerful teaching. Well, our announcer is going to give you some more important information on how you can order this powerful new set of teachings, and I'll be right back.
Most Americans believe that God created the heavens and the earth. But all of our public institutions, schools, universities, museums, science foundation, maintain a strict allegiance to Darwinism, that we came from a monkey, that we came from a big bang, and they deny the role of a creator. The elites have set the cultural agenda, influencing the beliefs of people to the point that they have controlled society and the culture. God is going to take the wealth of the wicked, and he's going to transfer it over into the hands of his people, because without the wealth, you've got no influence. And you say, well, why is God going to do that? Because he's going to show people who he is. He's going to show the full manifestation of his glory. God's going to have miracles so great until people are going to find it hard to believe, even in the church.
Break the chains of mental bondage and enter your year of jubilee in Pastor Winston's dynamic four-disc series entitled The Wealth Transfer, Volume 2. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at billwinston.org. The church has a mandate to demonstrate the full manifestation of God's word and glory that will free all people to rise in the wealth transfer.
You know, two of the most important reasons God wants you with the wealth is, one, for the building of his temple. In other words, remember when David had the money in the Old Testament that he had gotten through battles? And notice what he did. He gave it to Solomon for the building of the temple. Well, in the New Testament, we are the temple. In other words, an evangelism that would cover the whole earth, bringing in all the souls to Christ. The next reason is to expose himself to the world through you. When I was a kid, they used to have something that the kids used to play around talking about each other's mother. You remember something like that? And in that situation, you almost got in a fight because you were saying something derogatory about your parents, you know? Well, how many people are saying something derogatory about our spiritual parent, God, the Father? And I'm just saying God wants the right word out there to the people, so there'll be no mistake who the good one is and who the evil one is. God is good, and he's good all the time. So I'm saying these are two of the main reasons for this wealth coming into our hands. We're going to show the glory of God in these latter days. And it's an exciting time. Praise God. Well, that's all we have for today. This is Bill Winston saying, I'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.